Whether it's audiobooks or all-time greatest hits, long live listening to your favorites. Learn more about Kisqali Ribociclib 200 milligrams at KISQALI.com and talk to your doctor to see if Kisqali is right for you.
Good morning and welcome to At Home with Roby. I'm Patrick McIsaac from Roby Commercial and Services, along with Trent Haston from the Roby family of companies. We are your hosts. It's Sunday morning, 9 o'clock, WBT, and Trent's texting. You can't text and radio show at the same time.
I'm not texting. What are you talking about?
You Photoshop? What are you doing over there?
Well, they're not filming us.
You got a new case for your phone, it looks like.
Where's our head of social media? She was filming us there for a while. Wow.
Well, maybe that people realize we shouldn't be filmed. We're better off being a
radio
show.
I was getting used to it. You know, I started taking Rogaine.
I noticed you combed your hair, and you took your baseball hat off.
I mean, now that I've got this confidence in my new Rogaine, I'm taking my hat off at every meal, you know?
Good for you.
Even if I've been wearing it for a day and a half, I mean.
I see a couple new threads coming in up there.
When you got silky thin hair like mine, if you wear a hat all day and don't wash your hair every 4 hours, it gets real matty.
Oh, man. I understand.
You can see a lot of skin underneath it. Oh, man.
So we actually have a guest in the studio today, which
it's
we enjoy doing that. We have Scott Montgomery is here, and he doesn't realize probably how much we talk about your hair.
Wow. He's got good hair. He's a firecracker, though. That's what they call strawberry?
Because he has red hair?
Yeah.
You talking
firecracker.
About
he's a explosive.
I'm not going there.
It is cool, though. So Scott drove up from Spartanburg
hang
out with us.
Yeah.
Very special. Can have lunch after the show and ride a little bit around Charlotte.
There you go.
See what he knows to give him some trivia.
Oh,
you're off.
Whoa.
You're off. You can't say anything for the first segment.
He might get you for that. Be careful. I've seen that you're pretty easy on him, dude. When people try to talk too early, typically they get ridiculed.
I'm going to be easy on him.
It'd be easy. Yeah,
TJ
like
was
nice
ridiculing
fella.
Us because we were just hanging out, and he's like, guys, we got to record. I got other – y'all are not my only customer. Sorry, Mr. Engineer. But, man, I feel good, man. I've been on road trip with the family for a couple weeks now. We stacked a couple shows up, hadn't been in here, hadn't got my Patrick feel, hadn't got my TJ feel. I think you're going to go to lunch with us after, so I'll be tired of you in about an hour and a half.
Yeah, that's a long time to spend with me.
But yeah, we had a YPO family trip, had a 700 people on this. We went to Big Cedar, Johnny Morris. Man, I can't brag enough about Johnny Morris, the founder of Bass Pro Shop. Go look him up, man. I mean, if you want somebody that loves America and loves American history and loves and respects the history of America before we got here and is a conservationist on all fronts of everything that's good in America, that is your guy. Check it out. He sells his hats at Cabela's and Bass Pro, and anywhere you can find a Bass Pro Shop hat for $5.99,
yeah,
which I think is a very good business lesson. He's not robbing you if you want to wear his hat. He just needs to make $3 a hat. I give mine away, Johnny. But I will say, I think I might have said this last week, we went to the beach a couple weeks ago for our family beach trip in Myrtle Beach and Surfside.
Yep.
Every single time we went to eat, somebody had on a Bass Pro Shop hat. And it's kind of like, you're like, what's up, American? So it's very special. So we had a really good trip, 700 folks on that trip. And then we road tripped. We stopped in Nashville on the way, took the kids to the Ryman for a night, walked around Nashville. Glad I had my kids with me, and I had to go to bed and get up at like 6 the next morning because that place is hopping.
Wait, but on this YPO, you sent us a couple. You got to hear some pretty legit speakers.
Oh, yeah. Vern
Harnish
was there. And then the head of marketing for Chick-fil-A spoke. Got me all excited, ready to take over the world.
I saw some of those notes.
And then we drove from Big Cedar, Missouri. We drove 6 hours, took a one-night stopover because we had car problems in Reagan's Sprinter van in St. Louis. So I actually got to go see Nick Bauer, who's been on the show. My YPO family business friend lives in St. Louis. I went and played basketball with him and his crew at 6:30 in the morning last Friday
there you go.
At the Missouri Athletic Club. That was fun.
You look like you're not hobbling.
That is a business lesson of the day. Take advantage of low-hanging fruit. If you're somewhere and you go, man, I'm tired, I might not, I don't know, do it. Go visit your friends because you're there. When am I going to be in St. Louis, Missouri? And it was special. I hope it made him feel good. I think it did, and we got to talk a little bit. And then we went and spent 6 days on the farm in Monmouth, Illinois.
There you go.
I was showing Scott my arrowheads. Scott has farmland down in South Carolina, so he's old hat to him, but kind of made me happy.
You had a little Art Williams in there on that Do It, by the way.
Just Do It?
You said Do It!
I like
and do it.
Art Williams.
I love Art Williams. I haven't listened to that in a while.
Who was talking about that? Goodness gracious. Somebody yesterday said, you just got to do it. You can't talk about it. You just go do it.
Yeah.
And I agree completely. So anyway, we had July 4th at Lake Warren. That's where Reagan spent all of her years from 3 to 16 at the July 4th party at Lake Warren. Kids had all these swimming contests and free throw contests, and I might have won the adult race around the lake. I don't know if I did, but I might have.
Are you talking about you talking about swimming? Swimming race?
No, jogging. 2.6 miles, son.
Oh, is this a little bit of a jab?
You know,
I got you. We got a race coming.
I was sixth, and the first five were under 18. So
there you go.
Anyway. Reagan's my nephew, or cousin-in-law, whatever, is nine, Jackson. And, dude, he passed me about half a mile in, and he looked back. And I said, there's no way. This guy's got it. And he did have it. So, anyway, it's pretty impressive to see these young folks excel at things. And I'm going to brag on Ford. He won the free throw contest, first place. He hit. They went tit for tat, him and one other guy made it, and they hit like five in a row each, and then Ford hit his six, and the guy missed.
What did Ford do after they hit the six?
Kicked his leg up. Hi-ya!
I can see a fist.
And then he pooed it on Patrick. That's a whole throwback.
That's a whole episode we could do on that. Yeah.
So we got Scott Montgomery when we come back. So fun to have him in Charlotte, have him in the studio. Hailing from Spartanburg, we're going to learn a lot. You're listening to At Home with Roby.
Welcome back to At Home with Roby. I'm Patrick McIsaac from Roby Commercial and Services. I'm with Trent Haston from the Roby family of companies. We are your hosts. Check us out on all the social medias, Instagram, Facebook, LinkedIn. You can find the show there, and you can learn about Trent's new road game that he's taking.
Learn about what?
What?
What are you talking about?
I said the road game that you're applying to your hair.
I might have been fibbing.
Oh, you were.
I thought
I saw a couple of little sprouts shooting off.
You know, now everybody is kind of even us. We want to get you on a service contract. I used to call it like drug money. You know, get somebody on drugs, you can't get off, and that's kind of how the internet is today. That's how the cable is. I think that's how my security system is at home.
You think?
And I will not get on Rogaine because I'm not gonna get thick hair, and then they got you.
But yeah.
I'm just going to have thin hair and be okay with it.
Oh, you mean a reoccurring expense?
Yeah.
Monthly? Yeah, yeah.
You know about that.
I know about that.
That's every business.
A dream, right?
Private equity loves reoccurring expense.
Probably why he's in the Take Five game, right? I mean, it's like an air conditioning maintenance, but a lot more frequently.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So, Scott, welcome to the show.
Yeah.
Thank you. I've never been in a studio before. It's kind of fun.
It's pretty cool, isn't it?
Pretty cool.
This is the old school WBT, the legend of the Southeast.
Right. Beautiful. Cool. Nice to meet TJ.
Yeah, TJ is the man.
Behind the curtain.
Doesn't he look like a wizard?
He does.
He could make us sound good, then he's doing something right back.
We always joke with TJ Boggs. We always joke that you're Wade Boggs' son. I think your mustache is better than Wade Boggs.
But he's an Atlanta Brave fan, which right now is a pretty good spot to be. But I heard something funny about the Brown. I don't know why I just brought this up, but they have Quikrete or Sackcrete on their sleeves. And so they're good during the spring when it's setting, but when it gets towards the fall, they start to crack.
Oh,
man.
It's messed up.
You know the thing about all concrete cracks.
That's the way they get. Oh, yeah, so they play well this time of year, but then they crack it in the
I mean, I always thought Quikrete was good value. You know, $2, $3, $4 for a bag. Yeah. I mean, 50 pounds. By the weight, that's economical.
Yeah.
What do you think about
that's
that?
A good way to look at it. You price know? Per pound, that's a pretty good deal.
It is
pretty good deal.
Until you compare it to a yard.
Now you know the game.
Thinking. So I didn't know this. So Scott's, we become dear YPO friends. Yep. He hails from Spartanburg. I'm very close to South Carolina folks, and our thread weaves together more and more the more we talk about it. I did not realize this, Scott, that you went to Hampden, Sydney.
I did.
For college.
Graduated in 4 years.
I graduated Chapel Hill in 4 years here, hey, and I'm an economics major.
It's the same as me.
So you think about opportunity cost, micro, macro.
Yeah, I don't remember much of it, but
the supply and demand curve. I was a finance major, but we had a little econ mixed into that thing. But I also graduated in 4 years, which
you did.
Back,
I never knew that. I always took you for a 5.5.
Should have kept that extra football season. 4.5 years at Clemson is, you know, that's a lot of people. You know, have like
condensing.
6 hours on that final fall. Yeah.
Well, people told me I needed to go to a liberal arts school, which I did, and then I got there and realized it. There was the only major that had anything to do with business was an economics major. So that's what I picked. I think in hindsight, if I had gone to a bigger school, it had more options.
Did you enjoy economics?
Yeah, I loved it. I learned a lot. It was a lot of fun.
I understood it, you know. The theories of if this happens, you know, it creates an opportunity over here or a chain reaction. And I say this a lot, I enjoyed micro more when I was in college because I grew up in a family business that was small. This happens, that happens.
Yeah.
Macro was a little over my head, but as I've gotten older in business, 25 years now, I apply macro more, you know, and the world has become more global. So you grew up in Spartanburg.
I did.
Yep. And you grew up in the mill business.
Yeah, old textile town. Yep.
Textile town, like old Brent Beeson, good friend of ours, been on the radio a couple times.
So were you in Spartanburg proper or around
I grew up in Campobello, about 20 minutes outside on a farm, cattle farm.
Campobello is a beautiful area.
Yeah, right at the end of Lake Bowen. It was a lot of fun growing up. We ran around. I had forts. We had no TV. We had no cable. Being out on the farm, so we spent a lot of time outdoors.
Highway 11 kind of blows right through the middle of Campobello. Yeah. Sometimes my parents live in Seneca, and we'll go around just for the pretty drive. I mean, it's beautiful up in that area.
Yeah, we got a couple miles of road frontage on Highway 11.
Yeah. So, cool. Yeah.
So was the mill business that you grew up around, was that a family business?
It was. Yeah, my great grandfather started it in 1890.
Wow. Spartan Mills,
that's right.
Yeah. What did y'all produce?
All kinds of home furnishings, mostly. Did a lot of corduroy. When they were in World War II, they made all the duck for the bags. That
Really?
Yeah, they did a tremendous war effort. At one point, they made 80% of all the corduroy in like the 70s when it was cool. They had, I don't know, 13 different mills, so a lot of different things and some printing.
You were so kind and sent us some tidbits, and you had 5,000 employees at one point.
Yeah, it was a big company.
Goodness gracious.
My grandfather was instrumental, and there were a lot of mills and a lot of different owners, and he wanted his own business, so at some point he consolidated. The Millikens that were big in the textile business owned a lot of the mills, and he kind of separated them from one to from the other.
He mentioned Brent Beeson. We had David Greer on the show that went through Millikens program as well. You might know him also, but also with BWF. But Millikens, I mean, you say that name, you know, you've heard us talk about it. You say that name anywhere in the upstate or anywhere really in South and North Carolina. I mean, Roger Millikens, a legend.
Yeah, but he and my grandfather were best friends.
Seriously?
Spent a lot of time together, yeah. It was my great-great-grandfather, Henry Montgomery, after World War, after the Civil War. He walked home from Appomattox and was in a farming business for a year or two, and then he realized he didn't want to be pulling a plow, and so he went to New York and borrowed money from Seth Millikens, who was in the trade business, and that's how the textile, you know, how he got into the textile business, and eventually the Millikens moved to Spartanburg following the textile business.
So he went to New York by happen chance and borrowed money from Seth Millikens, who was in the banking industry.
Well, no, he was in the trade. He wasn't a banker. He they had a clearinghouse. So they people would produce textiles and they would sell it all.
Oh wow!
So they would lend them the money to get their get so they could buy the cotton and do it, and then they kind of controlled everything.
Talking about a vertical integration.
That's right. Yeah,
that is such a great story. And you said he mentioned he walked from Appomattox.
Yeah, he was Captain John H. Montgomery. He I can't remember. He was the he ran a store before, so he ran the
the
mercantile supply chains, exactly. So when he was with Lee when he retired and walked home from Appomattox.
That's crazy.
That is unbelievable story. Yeah. That was not in your notes.
That was not.
Sorry. No.
By the way.
No,
best thing just comes up. Yeah, that is so cool.
I mean, you almost have chill bumps hearing these kinds of stories.
Mm-hmm. So was the mill still around when you were growing up?
Yeah, I worked in the textile mill every summer when I was 15. I loved it. It was a lot of fun. Sweeping the floors is where I started, and then working on the machines, working in 12-hour shifts and different, Gaffney and Chesney and then in Spartanburg. So I learned a lot. And then when I graduated from college, I didn't have a job, and so my father was like, "Well, I'll fix that. I'll find you one." And that's where I went to Poland for 2 years.
So I was just really going to ask you about that.
Yeah,
how was that?
It was fun. It was the company had a joint venture with a Polish and a German company, and to print textiles that Spartan Mills produced, they went to New England. I can't remember in Connecticut, and they were fashioned into some process, and then shipped by container, and we would take it and make fabric, or we'd print it over there for couches and curtains, and half of it we sold into Russia and the rest sold into Poland. And so I spent 2 years there traveling around and had a lot of fun.
Had you ever been to that area before?
No, I mean, I've been to Europe, Western Europe, but yeah. No, it was definitely eye opening. I mean, it was back during the third world country, but the cool thing was the transformation, that I saw when I was there is they, westernized so much in just a short period of time, because they would watch, when I first got there, like all the TV you watched was one man translating all the, we'd watch Married with Children, that was that and The Simpsons, and it was all one voice doing all the characters. And by the time I left, it was like regular TV.
That's cool.
And so they
In
2 years, yeah.
Saw that transformation.
Right. And that's just the TV. I mean, the one town, we lived in a town no one's ever heard of a million people called Łódź, and we went from one movie theater to like 20. It was crazy.
And it had a million people.
And a million people.
Hey, Scott, this is will you hang out with us for another segment?
Sure.
Man, what do you think about this? You got good radio here on At Home with Roby. We have Scott Montgomery talking Poland, talking Spartan Mills, talking Hampden, Sydney. When we return, you're listening to At Home with Roby.
Welcome back to At Home with Roby. I'm Patrick McIsaac from Roby Commercial and Services, along with Trent Haston from the Roby family of companies. We are your hosts. If you missed the last couple segments, where do you go?
Poland. Oh. No, you go check it out on all the social media
networks. Instagram, Facebook, LinkedIn.
We used to be on film, but we're not on film right now. I don't know. Scott might show us up on film with his hair.
So Scott,
and you got a haircut. You said that was your weight loss program.
Yeah, it does make my face look skinnier. Yeah,
you look slim.
I don't know about that, but
Scott talked about after college. Your dad got you to go over with a business partner of y'all's that did printing on some of y'all's fabric.
Right.
Right.
Yep.
And lived in Poland for 2 years.
Yep. And I watched the change from socialism to capitalism, and it was just profound at how much changed while I was there.
That's pretty cool. And then did you go straight from there back to J.P. Morgan, New York City? Was that your next stop?
Yeah, I worked in operations and kind of marketing, and I could see that I needed some finance and accounting backgrounds work on my pedigree.
Man.
So I went to New York and got a job with – it was then Chase Manhattan Bank.
Okay.
And then merged with whatever you call it, with J.P. Morgan. But I did investment banking there for 3 years.
And you were there during 9/11.
Yeah.
You had put that in some of the notes. I mean, I have a cousin that was was in New York City during 9/11, just shared some stories. I mean, I know that probably is something you'll never forget.
Yeah, it was surreal. It was really something. My wife was a school teacher, and, she had to explain to all these children what happened. That was what was really
provocative for me, what I remembered. And we had just gotten married, I guess, less than a month before, or August 5th, so a little bit more than a month ago.
Were you living in the city?
In the city, yeah. And we were, it kind of changed us. We were like, you know, I think it's time to move on. Let's get out of New York. So, you know, we left a couple months later. And it was the funny, that was, we did more in that kind of sightseeing tourist stuff in that 2 months than we'd done the 2 years before. But I worked for the Red Cross for a while and enjoyed that.
Oh, wow.
And working with a lot of the families. So that was.
Goodness gracious.
Trying to add.
So you knew your time was short. So you like, we got to see some stuff because who knows when we're coming back.
Yeah. That was when, if you remember, the dot-com bubble hadn't really burst yet, but there were a lot of people going to work for smaller high-tech companies, and that's what I wanted to do. There was 100,000 people at that time at J.P. Morgan Chase, and I was like, I had dinner with a guy, Georgine Johnson from Swartenberg, and he said, "You want to, you know, you're the odds of you being CEO of this business are very slim. You know, if there's 1,000 people who are going to crawl over your back, you know, to try to get there. So, you know, might as well find some place, you know, smaller town to go establish a business." And so that's when I moved home briefly and moved to Greenville, South Carolina. So
there,
that's where
go.
I kind of started my
really?
Entrepreneurial career.
And give us a list of all.
Yeah, I'm reading through these
here.
Yeah,
what was the rundown here?
What was the first one?
We were living with my parents, and that was the most. That was not. Would not recommend that with anyone, especially with a new wife. So, I unfortunately took the first job that I got that was offered to me. It was inside sales doing telecommunication software. It was miserable. But I
that means you were cold calling people.
Yeah.
Inside sales.
That's right. I did. I called on Ferguson. That was one account I closed that was a big one.
Really? Okay.
Which was cool to manage all their telecommunication expenses. And then from that, I was like, I'm not doing this. I'm going to go start my own business. And Buddy and I started a landscape supply business we installed mulch, and then we had retail shops, which was a lot of fun.
Did y'all sell sod?
No, we never. We sold sod briefly, but it was we decided if anything was alive, we would kill it. So that's why we were good with mulch and gravel and
sod
sand.
scares the heck out of me.
No,
I agree with that theory.
Yeah,
that was I did it during the summers in college. I aerated lawns for True Green Chem Lawn.
Right,
and I'm pretty sure I've been into a couple of your shops. It would have been around that time.
That's cool.
And typically we were going in there because I messed something up.
Oh, is that
hit
right?
Hit a sprinkler head or destroyed somebody's yard. It wasn't usually a good sign if we were going to a supply house during that gig.
So you started that business with a friend 2003 to 2009. The business is still around, Southern Mulch?
Yeah. We've got three locations, and it's a good little cash flow business. Nothing, you know, it was a mom and pop thing where we were competing on. It was, you know, we had to standardize it, and it was a type of business where we realized that this is not where a female, you wouldn't want to send your mother, your wife, your girlfriend to buy mulch. And so we made it really attractive and pretty and standardized the pricing and made it much more easy to do business. It was always kind of a scoop. And what is the definition of a scoop? And so it took a while to educate our customers, but
That's cool.
It Southern Mulch, I need to go check it out. Is it around
Spartanburg? Spartanburg and Greenville.
Okay.
Yeah,
South Carolina. Cool. Yeah. Yeah. Awesome. And then, so you got out of that and keep going.
Yeah, so it was the two of us didn't need to run that business. So Christian stayed on and ran that business, and I went looking for another business to get involved in. And I ran into this guy, Jimmy Gibbs, who's really successful, smart guy from Greenville. And he said, "Man, I see, you know, 100 deals a week, and I need somebody to help me sort through them. And why don't you help me sort through deals and then find one, and we'll partner together." And we looked at the craziest deals you could imagine. I mean, we were looking at buying stuff, and anyway, we traveled all over the world. We went down to Venezuela, and we'd go to Europe. We'd go all over the country looking at different things.
That's cool.
But I, you know, he liked to buy and sell things, and I wanted to grow a company. So that's when I, you know, left there again and partnered with someone else to build a software company, which. It was a great little software deal. It was just really, really hard to sell. It was a thing for putting a questionnaire on an iPad in a doctor's office, where you go in and fill out the same forms over and over. It was like, we'll fill it out digitally once, and then You don't have to do it again. You can just update it. And it was a great piece of software. We had some developers in Charleston develop it for us. But, man, it is hard to sell to doctors. We learned that the hard way. And so after that, got into the recycling business for about 5 years. And after that, then that's been fun. That business is still going. I'm still involved in it.
The recycling business.
Yeah. We have a recycling plant in Monk's Corner, South Carolina, and Montgomery, Alabama, where we take in waste and single stream and process and get the aluminum, the cardboard, steel out. Justin Converse runs that business, and he's a chairman, and I'm the president. But you know, I don't spend a lot of time with it. But it's been a good business. But the commodity markets are a challenge. You know, the business goes up and down with that. So
I hear you. And now you are a Take Five franchisee.
Yep.
And how many Take Fives do you have?
We've got 13 across a couple in Augusta, one in South Carolina, and Aiken in Western North Carolina and East Tennessee. And that has been a really fun business to grow and get going after. We've been in it about 3 years, 3.5 years.
How did you get into that?
Another YPO guy was on a Cub Scout camping trip, standing around a campfire with Harry Clayton, and he's like, "Man, you should look at this business." I just got into Take Five oil change. I was like, "What is that?" And you know, I started looking at it, and 6 months later, I'm in the franchise for the territory and started growing that, and it's been a lot of fun. It's a cool business, you know. I got to learn a lot about real estate and developing, and you know, building these. You know, they're simple 1,400 square foot buildings, but. You know, we've got 140 employees, and they're just really great salt of the earth people that I've really enjoyed getting to know and you know, growing that business and mentoring them.
In Big Cedar, I met a YPOer who is a franchisee of Take Fives.
Lee Johnson, yeah, great
guy. And
his grandfather started the business.
The business originally and franchised it.
That's right. No, he started it, sold it to private equity. And then another
franchise.
Yeah, and they've probably, exactly.
So you like the franchise model?
Yeah, I think I'll look at another franchise.
Yeah, said that before.
Yeah, I think it's a good model. I can build things. If somebody gives me the blueprints, I can.
I mean, I mean, what you've just walked us through is unbelievable career to this state. I mean, you're 49. You got. Hopefully over half a century left to go, but I mean, you are an entrepreneur straight up.
Thank you.
I mean, I think you're the first person on the show that's ever lived in Poland, and you converted a socialist country into a capitalist country in 2 years.
You're giving him all the credit. It's
unbelievable. Right. I mean, daggone, for real. You had one movie theater in a million people city and walked away with 9, I think you said.
Yeah.
That's unbelievable.
It was fun. It was a transformation, that's for sure.
But I'll tell you, as we've progressed and we've started businesses and bought some little businesses and we're in service business, Patrick, my partner here, you know, I think franchisee is something that I like the system. This is what we're trying to do with our business, right?
Yeah.
I think it has its advantages and its disadvantages. Well, we don't have any agenda for the last segment. Will you stick around? I'd like to talk a little bit about your hobbies and your family, because those are interesting as well.
Yeah, I want you to tell me about the Make-A-Wish Foundation, too.
All right. Scott Montgomery, when we return, you're listening to At Home with Roby.
Welcome back to At Home with Roby. I'm Patrick McIsaac from Roby Commercial and Services, along with Trent Asa from the Roby family of companies. We are your hosts. If you missed the last couple of seconds, I think you really missed a lot. And that was
check it
awesome.
Out. All check of our social out. Media, At Home with Roby, Roby.com, whatever.
Well, Scott Montgomery here too, Trent. I mean, this is great. I mean,
WSM Ventures.
That's
LLC
right.
Is your business.
Yeah, I couldn't come up with I'm not very creative. It's indicative of the name. It's my initials.
Is it William Scott Montgomery?
Walter Montgomery.
Oh, dang.
The fourth.
There you go.
You didn't put the fourth in the LLC.
No, sorry.
So,
also Roman numeral at the end of that thing. Looked pretty cool.
So I was showing Scott. He said he grew up on the farm, running around, didn't have cable, didn't have TV. We had TV. We didn't have cable, so I was working in the outside. I didn't have a farm. I had a river. but I've kind of gotten into looking for arrowheads, and I was showing you what I brought back.
That's pretty cool.
It is cool. But you, where you and I, we had met a couple times and knew each other, but we walked the field together a couple years ago.
Yeah, with Brent Beeson down at Duck Bottom. That's right. We quail hunted together. Yeah. Last day of the season.
Wasn't that fun?
It was a lot of fun. Yeah.
So you are. I would have took you golfing today, but I know you're more of a hunter and a fisherman than a golfer.
Yeah.
Tell us a little bit about your hobby here.
Well, we quail hunt down in Allendale, South Carolina. That's where we found arrowheads. We don't plow the fields anymore like we used to, but a lot of arrowheads down there. There was a discovery near there where they found these arrowheads that were 30,000 years old, and it was one of those places that stumped the whole Bering Strait, and when people came across, originally they thought people came across 10,000 years ago, and these things were like 40,000 years ago. Yeah. And they've since found a lot of places around the United States with old artifacts. But that's where we quail hunt and deer hunt a little bit.
Allendale. I need to take my tiller down there.
That's right. It's right on the Savannah River in the middle of nowhere, South
Carolina.
Goodness
gracious.
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah. So what would you like fishing or hunting better?
Oh, I don't know. Probably hunting. I've gotten to Justin Converse has been very nice. He's another YPO guy who's very graciously taken
dear
me on
friend
a lot
of
trips. We used to go down to the King Ranch and hunt all kinds of stuff.
Wow.
It was amazing. He took me on an elk hunt once out to Colorado and shot this huge elk with my bow, which I wasn't even sure I could possibly do. And had a great guide and it all happened so fast. It was hard to, anyway, it's a cool story. If anybody, I wasn't even much of an archer. I mean, Justin's like, you're not going to hunt with me until you pick up a bow and figure it out. And so
that's legit.
Started shooting a bow and had a lot of fun with it. And stalking an elk is no joke because it's high altitude and you're walking a lot and you got to be quick. And, I had a lot of bulls come up and snort at me and, all of a sudden they're there because they run downhill at you. And if you're not ready, you're
look at you glow as you tell this story, man. I mean, it's Clark Stewart, Eastwood Holmes, one of my best friends. He does all these out west elk and hunts.
It's cool stuff.
It's amazing, and he glows the same. Now, you said you got to go fishing a couple times in Cuba.
Yeah, there again, Justin Converse took me to Cuba twice. I never caught a permit, but we caught a lot of bonefish, snook, and I tell you, Johnny Morris mentioned that last week about seeing that was his first realization of what freedom was, and talking about the 4th of July is another time I've been to Cuba and really got to be a tourist and see what socialism looks like. And it's, he said his father took him there as a young boy, and it was just instrumental in him understanding freedom and appreciating capitalism and business. And I think I need to take my kids there because, I don't think they appreciate it. It's hard to appreciate something until you see it. Like
he
that.
Said that every time he's had the opportunity to go around the world, his hunting and his fishing has taken him. He's blessed that he's seen socialism and he has wished that every young American person could go see this.
Exactly.
How competition and opportunity stifles society and stifles creativity and stifles people's opportunity to flourish.
That's right. Yeah.
And he was talking to our kids.
Yeah.
But that's cool that you got to see that, and you actually got to see that in Poland as well. Mm-hmm. You spoke on that. So, and you have three kids of your own. Are they growing up running around the farm?
Yeah. They not as much as I did, but because we live in town. But, they love the outdoors, though. They love to fish. They love to trout fish in North Carolina. They need to take them out west. Like my dad did for me.
And Laura lets you keep doing this. We're going to go hunting.
Yeah, that'd be
great. I told you I was going to take you golfing, actually. Well, hey, how can people check you out? You got any way they can look up your business?
Yeah.
Go buy mulch.
Yeah, go buy mulch.
Or get your oil change, Western North Carolina.
That's right. Yeah, I think I'm on LinkedIn. I had to delete my Instagram. I waste time with that.
Hey, well, thanks for listening. Scott, thanks for being here. Scott Montgomery. Hey, thanks for joining us. Go do the golden rule today. Treat others the way you want to be treated. God bless you.
Whether it's audiobooks or all-time greatest hits, long live listening to your favorites. Learn more about Kisqali Ribociclib 200 milligrams at KISQALI.com and talk to your doctor to see if Kisqali is right for you.